I'm David Delegater. I've always been addicted to travel writers, from Sir Stamford Raffles, the colonizer of Singapore, to Sir Richard Burton, the British adventurer and spy of the Middle East and Africa, to Paul Thoreau, who's tramped through countries far off the beaten path for most of us. And now, the British writer Graham Holiday has a new book out, Eating Korea, Reports on a Culinary Renaissance. It's a different species of travelogue. In this work, Holiday returns to a country in which he lived in the late 90s. 20 years after the fact, he sets out to investigate what has become a Korean cuisine, hoping to rediscover the persistence and love for traditional dishes and a culture that honors its past. He ends up being shocked and sometimes appalled at what he finds. Korea is a country on the move. Sociologically, it's in a hurry to catch up with everything and surpass the technical revolutions that have enveloped the planet. He finds cities in which the venerable old Korean houses called hanok have been routinely leveled block by block and replaced by skyscraper apartments whose elevators recognize their residents and whisk them to the proper floor without pushing a button. Holiday doesn't recognize the cities, and he sometimes barely recognizes what he has come to discover, the real definition of Korean food. To a certain extent, this is a fool's errand. After all, what is American food? Ketchup and fried chicken? Contemporary Koreans love their fried chicken and consume it in massive quantities, accompanied by shredded cabbage and a sweet cocktail sauce, with strawberry crisps and kimchi chocolate. The traditional food that he was hoping to find does exist, but more on that later. Another food advancement that was largely unfamiliar to Holiday is Korean pizza. As he states, it is the stuff of Italian nightmares. Here, it is topped with bulgogi, wasabi, sweet tomato sauce, cream cheese, red pepper paste, raisins, nuts, cheap canned pineapple, strawberries, kimchi, and potatoes, along with the ubiquitous Korean accompaniment of corn. So, Holiday travels by train and bus from town to town. He is not deterred by warnings from his friends and contacts that there is absolutely nothing to see or do outside of Seoul and Busan, the two largest cities. Koreans, he had found, were often embarrassed by their food, thinking that it was too hot, too smelly, too this or too that, but they were wrong. Pushed by American chefs Roy Choi of L.A. food truck fame and David Chan of Momofuku, new Korean food and music has been popularized the world over. A Korean phenomenon is that of mukbangers, people who make their living letting others watch them eat and broadcast it on the internet. He interviews a woman who was making $10,000 a month before the pressure to perform and eat vast amounts of food became just too great. But in Korea itself, the old family standbys were disappearing. Worldwide, no one eats out more or consumes more alcohol than the Koreans. There's no one left to prepare the old favorites, but the elderly, as the new generation is too busy and too driven to succeed to waste time cooking. So Holiday goes from town to town, relying on contacts to direct him to the restaurant that serves the local specialty. Even at that, and despite the push toward novelty, Korea is a country that honors its cooks. 39 knighthoods have been granted to chefs in Korea, honorary masters of food. Although he finds most of the traditional dishes in small back alleys and hovels, in Jeonju, his old language instructor takes him to a place serving bibimbap, the meat and rice specialty, garnished with side dishes of sweet potato and sesame leaves, pickled radish with sesame seeds, salted persimmons, fermented salted fish, fermented plums, mushrooms, glass noodles, mung bean jelly, salty radish with slivers of nuts, wild greens, and a bowl of bean sprout water. He eats oxbone soup in Seoul and raw twitching octopus tentacles caught by one of the last free divers, an 89-year-old woman, and omegari, a red-hot fish soup in Giola. I could go on and on. But Holliday is a wonderful writer. Of the omegari, he says, an industrial stove with a gas supply from the volcanic core of hell blazed to my left. Small fish flipped inside furious black earthenware pots as feathery red flames licked up the sides. Staring into that mire was like bearing witness to a bloody massacre at a lava spring. The red chili delirium sneered, spat, and hissed at me. I imagined a Raymond Chandler short story. Graham Holliday's Eating Korea reports on a culinary renaissance is a wonderful piece of cultural anthropology. As a study of food, society, psychology, and travel, it is a riveting, if somewhat sad, work of a man looking for a world that he finds may be disappearing. Nevertheless, it's a great read that poses the eternal question of whether or not you can ever go home again. For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegater.